screen thing. And suddenly you can see, and then what you don't know does hurt you. But anyway, it's really nice to be here this morning. I digress. I have just recently moved back into Auckland, moved into West Auckland. So I bring you greetings from West Auckland. What's up? from the west side. And yeah, thank you. There's a local. So I awaken to the sound of gunfire every morning. I'm kidding, it's only like two or three times a week. But actually I moved from a little town north of Auckland where I was heading when I was here last, called Kaukopapa. Has anyone heard of Kaukopapa? Why? There's nothing there except me, and I'm here, so officially there's nothing there. It's beautiful, but actually it's near another little town called Helensville. Anyone heard of Helensville? Yeah. Shoes and teeth are optional. It's not a joke. It's just an observation. One day my friends from Helensville are going to realise that I've been going around the country saying mean things about them. And they're going to hunt me down with guns. But it's okay, because they won't be able to catch me because they won't be wearing shoes. So I reckon I'm safe. But no. Anyway, happy Father's Day. All the dads out there, happy Father's Day. Well done. Thank you for all you do. It seems to me this little bit, we make a much bigger fuss of Mother's Day, and I'm not sure why. But I would like to acknowledge Father's Day for you. I just called my dad actually earlier because I'm going around to see him after here. And he's 80 now, so I have to ask him if he's going to be home. And then about 5 minutes later, I have to ask him again just to clarify. I say, "You sure you're going to be home, Dad?" "Yes, yes, yes." So there's a chance that I'll go and see him and he won't be there. But that's okay, because he's a wonderful man. And I love him very much. And so I wanted to start by dedicating my first song to my dad. This is actually a song that I wrote for my father, and so for all the dads out there. My parents have been incredible in my life. So who's got great parents as a start point? If your father's in the room, raise your hand quickly. I would recommend. Who is a fantastic parent? Oh, good, strong self-esteem down here on the left. Thank you. Some people are like, "Oh, yeah, I don't know, but borderline." Who thought they were going to be a really good parent until they had to try it? And you discover that, yeah, average is okay. I have two beautiful children. My daughter is 15, and her role in life is to keep it real for her mother. And she's really good at that, as 15-year-old daughters are. I was on my way home from recording my first album many years ago, and I put a CD into the car player and played a little bit of what we'd done that day. And she said, "Oh, who's this?" And I said, "Oh, it's me." She goes, "Oh, have we got any Brooke Fraser?" So, yeah, tough crowd, my daughter. My son, his role in life is to gross out his older sister. Apparently this is a phase he will grow out of by the time he's like maybe 37. But he's doing a really good job of that too, because he's 11. And when he was little, I did what all good mothers do. I got my kids ready and then I put them in the car and then I went back inside to get ready. Is it just me? Don't call SIFs. Anyway, so then they're out there, because then they can make noise out in the car and then I can just relax inside. But after a while, the noise got a little bit too much, so I thought I'd better go and find out what's going on. So I went outside and I said, "What's happening?" And my son was chewing vigorously, like with eyes like saucers. I said, "What happened, buddy?" He goes, "Well, I coughed and I coughed and suddenly there was bubble gum." Okay, all right. Now, you'll get that later. You'll lie down and be like, "Oh, okay." So I do apologise if my son marries your daughter. He's very cute, so that should make up for it. But my kids are wonderful. But my father and I, we have had an incredible relationship. He's built so much into my world. But he's an engineer, and I'm an artist. And he's English. So some of you can see where this is going. And we don't always agree on everything, you know, mostly about the way I look and the way I dress. He's not that stoked with. And he says, "I liked it when you had blonde hair and pigtails." And I said, "Well, I liked it when you had hair." So, you know, just putting it out there. So, We don't always agree. If I turn up to his house looking less than really well groomed, he goes, "Oh, given up the fight, have we?" Did I mention he's English? Anyway, so we have disagreed on some really stupid things over the course of, you know, my lifetime. But I decided a while ago that what he has built into my life, what he has sacrificed to be an incredible, devoted dad and a faithful husband to my mum for 56 years, was worth far more than any of the silly little disagreements that we could have on, you know, the colour of my hair or whatever. And so I wrote a song for him, and the chorus says, "You've been looking at me for all these years, and it's time to get used to the view." you think. Because there's a part of me that's always going to be thanks to you. So I'd like to dedicate this to all the dads out there, particularly if you've come to a phase in your life where your kids are perhaps confusing you somewhat. Don't worry. Don't panic. They will come back around. Like a drum that says its rhythm's been forever. And I've driven through the rain of disapproval far too long. I appreciate the sentiment to know you only want to save me high. There's one thing that I wish that I had said to you without it going wrong. You'll be looking at me for all these years, and it's time to get used to the view. There's a part of me that's so spoke to me, you were trying to see your little princess, and it broke your heart. It chose to learn the hard way for so long. And here I am, a product of every time you told me I was beautiful. And as I drive into the night, I am so grateful you taught me to be strong. Well, do you an interesting, it was actually funny, I was talking to, was it Ainsley just over here, and just remembering, you know, what's gone through my life in the last sort of 6 years, in the last couple of years, have been incredibly difficult, an unexpected and very difficult time in my life. And things are coming sort of out the other side now, and God's been incredibly graceful and gracious towards me, and I'm very grateful for that. But I had in the middle there what I refer to as my neck minute year. You're familiar with the concept of neck minute? You know, everything's going pretty sweet. On my 40th year, I turned 40, and funnily enough, you wouldn't have thought it, really. But anyway, I turned 40, and I declared it my year of Jubilee, and that worked for a little while. And you know, sometimes in life, especially as a Christian, you can kind of get stuff, and you feel like you kind of got it all together. You think, sweet, I've kind of got my ducks in a row. I've got everything sorted. I'm just going to sail off and eventually go and see Jesus, and everything will be fine. And then we have neck minute. Neck minute, as my father would say, everything turns to custard. And I then got to a phase where I thought, well, it can't possibly get any worse than this. Everything's kind of fallen apart. It can't possibly get any worse. Next minute. You know, life has this way of happening to us. Even when we have strong faith, even when we believe in God, he has not promised that he will protect us from other people's decisions or, you know, other things happening around our world. But he has promised that he will walk with us through the storm, that he will carry us, he will hold our hand through what it is that we're required to walk through. And so I found myself in this time that's been incredibly difficult, and I have run back to what I call the pillars of my life, the things that have remained standing when everything else has kind of been shaking around me. I run back to my you know, my family, my faith, not that I had left it, but I've clung to it like never before. And one of the things I've run back to have been the songs of my childhood. I was brought up in with the Redemption Hymnal. Does anyone remember the Redemption Hymnal? It was a red, beautiful red hymn book, yeah. Full of some amazing songs and hymns in there. Some of them are real shockers. They're pretty, you know, like they don't make a lot of sense. But in there are some incredible hymns. And I was brought up with that. And it's some of the songs that I've come back to in this time where I really needed something to hang on to. And I've had the privilege of recording mine and my grandma's 5 favourite hymns. And now me and my grandma, we had a close bond. I'm the baby of the babies, so I'm a bit delusional, so I think I'm the favourite. But you know how it is in families. It's like the first child. You know, parents have their first child. Some of your fathers, you would understand this. And you have a lot of energy and time and money, and so you give it all to that first child. And then you get to the one at the end, and it's like, oh, shivers, it's our last chance to kind of get it right. So they get a lot of time and energy and money. And then there's just all the ones in the middle. Is anyone a middle child? Give them a hug. These people have issues, but they won't tell you because you're just going to ignore them anyway. And they have learnt this through a lifetime of experience. You know, it's just that those middle children are amazing. They're great negotiators because otherwise they'd never get fed. And so I was playing in Russell, and a beautiful girl came up to me at the end of the meeting. She goes, Julia, I'm the middle child of 9. So I'll give you $50 if your mother knows your name. Like, seriously, yeah. It's just, there's that thing in the family. And, you know, my brother, so I'm 1 of 5. And when my parents, eventually your parents get sick of having all your stuff in their garage. I don't know what that's about, you know, whatever. And then they want to give you all your stuff back. It's really annoying. And so my parents, they went through all the photos and they're trying to, you know, give us all our stuff, get their stuff out of their house. And so they had these boxes lined up. And so my oldest brother gets this big box, you know, of photos. And then they're all sort of black and white from the 1960s. And I got my box of photos from the 70s when everything was all sort of like greeny, and it looked like Instagram, actually, those photos. And then my sister and other brother, and then there was the one in the middle, and they're like, oh, a little manila folder. They're like, sorry. You know, I'm like, oh, poor Nigel. So there's that middle child thing, but I'm the baby. And also my grandma and I shared a birthday on the same day. Obviously not the same year, but on the same day. And so we were really, really close. And so I've had the privilege of recording what I knew to be her favourite hymns and what I knew to be mine. And I have leaned on these songs at times where I haven't had words to speak or sing, or I haven't had the creativity to come up with my own. And I've been able to, I guess, live out my faith through some of these songs. So this is my version of a real old classic, and I hope you enjoy this one. Secure, I'm all I love. We on? Cool. I wanted to just sing a song that it's actually my favourite song from the 80s. Remember the 80s? It was actually like last millennium. It was a long time ago now. But actually the 80s is referred to as the decade that fashion forgot. And I'm proud that I was brought up in that era. But during this time, every now and then I think someone writes a song that I just wish I'd written myself, and writes a song that holds incredible truth, even though it wasn't written perhaps by someone who was a Christian, or and maybe it was, it wasn't written by the person who sung it, but it just contains something of real truth and real value inside of it. So for perhaps for all the parents out there today, a bit of an encouragement from the 80s.
You with the sad eyes, don't be discouraged, though I realize it's hard to take courage in a world full of people. You can lose sight of it all, and the darkness inside can make you feel so small. But I see a true color shining through. I see a true color, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors. Your true colors are beautiful, like a rainbow. Show me a smile, don't be unhappy. I can't remember when I last saw you laughing. If this world made take it all you can, then you call me up, because you know I'll be there. And I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show true colors are beautiful.
The wandering foot pedal. There's all the keyboard. It's the don't blame the shoes. Oh, gosh. They held up a shoebox. I'm like, oh, it's got a Christmas thing on it, whatever. I mean, not that that's not a great, sorry, I apologise. Those are much more important than my shoes, but I just for a moment, sorry. which brings me on to my next point. I do actually write a blog. If you enjoy kind of my, I'm going to say something a bit more meaningful later. I apologise if I haven't said anything useful yet. But you know, often in church we get a lot of information and we don't sometimes have a bit of a laugh. And I quite like the idea that, you know, life is hard and life is difficult. And I believe that God has created colour and brightness and laughter. And so I don't mind having a laugh. And that's my spiritual justification for being silly. Amen. It's my story and I'm sticking to it. Yeah. I mean, if you've read Numbers, you know we need a laugh. You know, seriously. But it's a bit boring. So actually, I think if women had written the Bible, Numbers would have been far more interesting. You would have got more information. I mean, men, I love you, but, you know, you don't give useful information like, you know, so-and-so begat so-and-so. Like, what does that mean? We want to know, you know, what did they wear to the wedding? Who did they go out with before that? You know, how many babies did they have? So we would have had a bit more information. The Bible would have been about this thick, but Numbers would have been awesome. So just saying. I reckon that initially, perhaps Miriam was asked to dictate the Bible to the guy with the chisel, but he couldn't keep up. And he got, you know, like RSI. And he's like, I can't keep up with this. And she's blah, blah, blah. So he's like, well, can you send in somebody who, you know, who have we got anyone else? And she said, well, I've got a brother, but he's got a terrible speech impediment. And he speaks very slowly. He's like, awesome. Send them in. In the beginning. So they stuck with that. That's not in the Bible, just to clarify. Unless you can find it, Grant. That'd be cool. I do have some CDs. Anyway, I do have a blog, and if you're interested in that. And I have a Facebook page. Is anyone my Facebook friend? Yeah, come on. We're a shallow bunch. We're fun. I don't spam you. I put something on saying that I was ministering in Northland. 8 people liked that post. I put a photo of my mint green stilettos that I was wearing at the show. 84 people liked that post. We're a shallow bunch, but we have fun, and that's all good. I do have some CDs for sale up the back at the risk of sounding like an infomercial. So Julia Grace was my first album. I won a TUI Gospel Album of the Year for that in 2005, believe it or not, long time ago. Helen Clark presented me with my TUI. She said, congratulations. which was exciting and frightening both at the same time. I'm in recovery. So Beautiful Survivor was a follow-up to that, and I actually came second for a TUI. Parachute Band had lost 3 years in a row, so I thought, just give them the TUI. I'm never going to hear the end of it. But it's all good. I love them. Yeah, a collection of stories and songs of courage, and one of the reasons that I love writing and recording songs is because they take something that God has done in my world or in the world of someone I know and packages it up, and it can just go out and just be opened again and again and again. Other people's songs have been the soundtrack to my healing many times in my life, and it's an incredible privilege to be part of that for someone else. So, and I don't do Christian jargon, you may have noticed. It's just kind of normal language. So it is well. It was to create this little EP of hymns and call it It Is Well, at the time I recorded it, was an audacious statement of faith because it did not feel very well with my soul. But the reason I love the song is because it doesn't say it is well with my finances or it is well with my health or it is well with my relationships or whatever. It just says it is well with my soul. And I don't know about you, but there have been days when I've woken up in the morning and the only thing I've got to hang on to is that it's well inside my heart. It is well with my soul, even though the surroundings of my world don't make any sense. And so it was an incredible privilege to do that. And the more I sing it, the more I believe it. And the more I believe it, the more I see it come to pass in my life, to state and to claim that it is well with my soul. So I've added my own second verse to this. I just kind of wanted to be a part of the great story that is there. So this is my grandma's favourite.
When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is
on the wall. What time? How much longer have I got? 5. Cool. Perfect. Or are you just waving at me? My eyesight's pretty bad. I had to sit for a little while. I was like, is that a clock? No, that looks like an alarm bell. And so far, I haven't seen anything. I was checking out the fire extinguisher there, but no. And Grant's waving. I'm taking that as a 5. Go like that when you've had enough. I just had a little, just wanted to share a little verse and perhaps just a little thought with you today, particularly to you parents. You know, I've got 2 kids, and parenting is a incredible, but I texted a friend of mine this morning. I said, you know, parenting is a gut-wrenching love in a good way and in a hard way. It's something that just cuts to the core of you, and sometimes that just comes with incredible blessing and incredible beauty, and sometimes it comes with incredible difficulty and sacrifice. You know, I've always said that there's that kind of whole sense that you throw so much into this one thing, and you get so much out of it, and yet it takes so much out of you at the same time. And so I just want to encourage you, and to those of you who don't have children, you know, sometimes when we talk about something, it can really bruise and push on echoes within us. But in any circumstances of life, God is able to use his word to encourage us. So whatever your circumstances are, I would just encourage you to apply this to your life. You know, each one of you will have your own story to that. But it is Father's Day, so I wanted to acknowledge that too. I've written it down here. I can't actually see. I'm going to be really honest with you. I can't read the font in my Bible. So I copied it out big. But I forgot to put actually what it is. So somewhere on this page, so it could be in Psalm either 91, 2, 3, 4, or 5. Is this amazing verse? What a muppet, honestly. It's in here somewhere. Hang on, Psalm 94, verse 18. See, I didn't even have to admit that to you, but I did. Oh, gosh. Sometimes I just say things I shouldn't say. I was playing this beautiful song once. It was this beautiful tender moment in a full auditorium, and this little kid came running from the back, and he came running all the way down the side yelling across the front and then right up the back. He yelled the whole way. It was like, yeah, you know, like the Doppler effect across the front, yeah, up the back. And he could just feel the sense of the room of people just like looking, oh, and the wave of disapproval, like a Mexican wave around the room. And you could just feel the thought, you know, bad parents, bad mother, who's in charge of that child. At the end of the song, I had to admit that it was actually my son. he had escaped from the clutches of his auntie and made a run for it all the way around. I'm like, oh my gosh. See, I didn't have to admit that, but I just couldn't help it. I played at their school. The school asked me to do a song once, and this kid sat right at the front and he just stared at me. And in the end, he just turned around, faced the back, and started eating his jandal. So I figure if everyone's facing the front and no one's consuming their footwear, we're moving up. So yeah, anyway, I do apologise. So it is Psalm 94 verse 18, and I didn't need to tell you any of that. Anyway, it says this: unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. When I said, my foot is slipping, your love, O God, supported me. You know, I just want to say three quick things about this verse. It's really spoken to me in the last few days. Unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. I don't know about you, but I'm brought up, I got a British passport. I wasn't brought up in the UK, but I was brought up British, and we kind of stiff upper lip and a bit stoic. And we have this terrible phrase that says, keep calm and carry on. Now, I get that we had to, you know, people had to do that in the Second World War. I'm like, no. I say make a scene and then carry on. You know, I think this whole I'm okay. I was brought up, you know, you suppress your emotions. Don't let on. Just the path of duty. You know, and I think sometimes we actually have to stop the silence of death in our world, and we actually have to cry out to God. You know, we are often, if you are capable, if you're okay, if you can get it going, people say, "How are you? I'm fine. I'm okay. I can do this." It doesn't mean that you have to do it alone. We don't have to journey this journey alone. We need to sometimes be brave enough to cry out to God. I remember being in church and this little girl came down. I was actually just standing in the worship in our church, and this kid came down and her mother had the gall to, you know, say no to her for something. And she just fell to the ground, screaming, beating, you know, feet, legs, arms, the whole shebang. And I thought, wouldn't that just be awesome? You know, when you're having a rough day, just do that. I'm like, just go for it. Imagine if we were just, how much better she must have felt. You know, we don't, as adults, we don't get permission to do that. We don't have permission. We've got to keep calm and carry on. We've got to get up in the morning. I've had people say to me, well, you know, when you're going through tough times, I don't know how you get up in the morning. I'm like, because I have to. Because someone's got to feed the kids. You know, I don't have the luxury of just stopping. But we need to be brave enough sometimes to cry out to God and not live in the silence of death and not allow our feelings and our emotions to be buried. It doesn't mean we have to let everybody know everything that's going on. But we do need to trust some people. We do need to allow some people to speak into our world. And, of course, ultimately, God can speak into our situation. We need to cry out to him. The second point says, you know, when I said, my foot is slipping. And it's just that articulation of saying to God, the psalmist, God knew their foot was slipping, but when he said, my foot is slipping, he was able to reach out to God. You know, sometimes I think we just need to find that moment, find some time, find some space, and just cry out to God. God is not surprised that your circumstances are difficult. God is not surprised. He's not like, oh, really? This is a big shock to me. I can't believe it. You know, God has big, broad shoulders. He understands our situation. And sometimes I think he is waiting for us just to come and to open our mouths and say, help, my foot is slipping. and you can say it in whatever way you like. And I don't think he'll be shocked by the way you say it. And then it says the third part, when I said my foot is slipping, your love, O God, supported me. It doesn't say your love, O God, rescued me from all my problems, or your love, O God, miraculously clicked its fingers and everything changed. It just says your love supported me. And I see in my mind a picture of someone falling, walking and falling into a pit and finding that moment where their foothold is beginning to slip and thinking, if I keep falling, I'm going to fall and fall and fall. God help me. And God just coming alongside and supporting, not just kind of whoop, lifting us out, but just supporting as we rise. As fathers today, for those of you who are dads, you know, you would know that when you're helping your kids to learn something, it doesn't help them just to save them, just to rescue them. Your kid's learning to ride a bike. I was walking around the park the other day just listening to some music, and this lady was helping her kid learn to ride a bike. And she just went for about 200 metres, the child was riding, and she was just hanging onto the back of his hoodie. And I remember walking towards her, I thought, you're going to have to let go at some point. Yeah, like, this kid's not going to learn to ride a bike with you hanging onto the hoodie, because the kid's like, I can ride a bike, this is awesome. But she just kept running along behind. And I thought, you know, maybe it's not today, maybe it's not the time to let go just yet. The kid will go careering into the concrete and then I'll feel really bad. But, you know, there is a point at which God can support us, scaffold us, help us, and then eventually allow us to actually walk. That's maturity, that's growth. So, you know, I know for some of you, your situations will be really, really difficult, or you'll be helping others in difficult circumstances. And I would just encourage you to invite God to come alongside you and to help you grow. I look back and say, you know, when things have gone wrong, don't say, what was I thinking? You say, you know, what was I learning? What did I learn from that? I made a really bad hash of that. I'm sorry, God, but can I learn something from that? And just allowing maturity to come. And just to be encouraged that God is on our side. He actually is. It's hard to believe sometimes, but he wants us to grow. He wants us to change. He wants us to develop and become big and brave and strong, and then be able to, in turn, support other people. So I'm just going to do one last song, and the chorus of the song, it says Beautiful Survivor, so it might have like a little bit of a girly thing to it, but it's not designed to be spoken into a male or a female or a woman or a man, just to anybody, because I think in God's eyes we are beauty, we are full of beauty and grace, and that is how we were created. The chorus says, I'm always on your side, even when you struggle. It makes your wings grow stronger because you're a beautiful survivor. My life's message kind of picked me. You know, we all have our sort of life story. And I picked this message of beautiful survivor. In the Old Testament, the prophets lived out their prophecies. There was one guy who like lay on his side for 1 year and then turned over and lay on the other side. All the parents are like, that sounds awesome. Where can I sign up for being that guy? But, you know, my life's message that attached itself to me was that struggle makes you stronger. I really wish I'd picked a better message. Like, that was just rubbish. I mean, it's a great message, but I've been tested on it so many times. I really wish I'd picked money makes you happy, because that would have been awesome, you know. And so the struggle makes you stronger. And sometimes he's like, oh, yeah, that's great. Go, Julie, you know. How about now? Like, stop it. Stop testing me. You know, stop testing me on stop making me practice what I preach. This isn't fair. And so, you know, this message is there. But it's deeply ingrained in my heart that as we come through and out the other side, there's something about the victory of having to fight, of having to lean in on God, of having to actually trust him, really trust him, that grows character inside of us. So this is Beautiful Survivor. Sometimes the night is so deep, you just cannot sleep for all that's surrounding you. And everything said circles your head, you feel like you're drowning. But here in the shadow, you know I won't leave you alone. I said I would never abandon you here on your own. Well, I'm always on your side.
survivor. Sometimes the wounds from a friend can hurt till the end, leaving you breathless. A hope that's delayed, or secrets betrayed, you're feeling defenseless. But here in the shadow, you know I won't leave you alone. I said I would never abandon you here on your own. This feels like more than you can bear. It'll make you braver. I'm always on your side, even when you struggle. It makes your wings grow strong, and now you're beautiful.
Thank you. Thanks, Grant. Thanks so much for having me this morning.